Good morning, everyone. I want to say a word of welcome to those who are guests with us this morning, and also a word of greeting to those who are at home participating in Holy Mass with us virtually. Just again to encourage you, I feel that we are safe and secure, so anytime that you feel like you would like to come back to join us, we will leave the light on for you. If you will allow me, I want to dive into two topics this Sunday. First, a word about the sacred scriptures for today. Second, I want to, as we are embarking on year three of our Legacy and Vision campaign, hail full of grace. Bob Owens, chair of the campaign, will give us some good information at the end of Mass. So on my part and on Bob's part, buckle up. There's no denying the fact that there is something unique about how Jesus acted in today's gospel, episode in St. Matthew. As far as I can research or remember, I think it's one of the few times, if not the only time, that Jesus seemed like he was going to deny someone's fervent request. And then the rest of his conversation with the Canaanite woman could almost be considered insulting. Apparently, the Canaanite woman did not get angry. I probably would have. She did not appear to get frustrated. I'm sure I would have. She did not give up hope, but kept right in there with him. The virtue of persistence. The virtue of persistence frequently leads to hope. In the end, we might say that she was victorious. She won. In fact, Jesus ends up paying her a great compliment about her faith. And more importantly, she obtains what she originally had asked for, the cure of her daughter. I'll admit it's easy to say that this should be an example for us. I do believe that our prayer life, especially when we go to God with our needs and petitions, times it can be a great, great test of our faith. The reason I say this is because it seems to happen so often that our prayers, yes, even our well-intentioned prayers, seem to go unanswered. Now, I'm not referring to those prayers when we are praying for something we want, and God knows better. He knows what we might want, but he knows what we might truly need. And that's when our prayers are answered. I'm referring more to the times when we pray for something that is vitally and critically important to us. It might be a marriage in trouble, friendship that has gone awry, that is very painful. We've been hurt. Might be a son, a daughter, struggling with a serious addiction. I hear it all the time. Moms or dads are both worried about their children or other loved ones who've fallen away from the church, no longer practice their faith, no longer believe at times. Or sometimes, at least for me, it's a feeling of blues, little despair, kind of that pinch. Just something doesn't feel right. It's not huge. It's not destructive. But it's annoying. And you can't seem to shake it. Why aren't any or all of these prayers answered? Well, there are many things about God that we do not know or understand. And one of these is what I will call God's timing. Strictly speaking, there is no time with God in the sense that we understand God. With God, everything is an eternal now. No yesterday, no tomorrow. And that's a challenging point to get our heads wrapped around in our human limitations. God has his reasons for allowing things to happen when and where they're supposed to happen. And so when he does not answer our prayers right now, like we would like to happen, he knows the will, the providence. He knows at the end of the day what is truly good for us. But my job is to make sure that you remember, hold tight in your heart, that Jesus told us, ask and you shall receive. So I can assure you, he meant it. He might never do it immediately, but our prayers will be answered. Jesus himself gives us the reason why he answered this woman's request. Very simply, it was her great faith, her great confidence that Jesus would eventually pay attention to her and answer her and heal her daughter. So take some time this Sunday. If any of those things are heavy in your heart, take this time this Sunday to breathe a bit easier. Might not be today. Might not be tomorrow. But it will be in God's time. Your prayers will be answered. That's where faith leads to trust, that it may not be what you want, but God knows what you need. Hold on to that today. Yesterday, lots of folks came here to the cathedral to mark the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Her statue is here, and we will give her that honor of place. We'll do that for 54 days, because also yesterday, many are participating at the cathedral. Actually, there are 1,500 people who have signed up to pray a rosary every day for all of our needs, the challenges, the struggles, the fears, the anxieties that we are experiencing today. And it has been our tradition as Catholics to turn to her and ask her to take those prayers to her son. Ask and you shall receive. Our prayers will be answered. It was a real blessing and grace to have Mass yesterday at noon on the solemnity of the Assumption. Our cathedral is dedicated and honored in her name, Our Lady of the Assumption. On August 18th in 2018, you kicked off the campaign, Hail Full of Grace, with both the legacy and vision components. That one of them, the vision components, in my mind anyway, helps us simply to take care of what we refer to as the Mother Church. In a way, our mother allows us to take care of her in practical ways. And to begin, secondly, with the legacy and endowment to take care of her for generations to come. I'm stepping into the third and final year, having been blessed to join you, I think 11 or 12 days ago now. I will make a commitment very soon, after praying very zealously about how many zeros would be good to offer and make dear mother smile. You know the old cliche, if mom's happy, everybody's happy. And I know God will answer my prayers. I just hope he and I agree on the same number of zeros. Yesterday was also the 171st anniversary of the blessing and laying of the cornerstone of this lovely edifice. In honor of Our Lady of the Assumption, and belongs to the Lord. I found myself reflecting a lot about that, and how blessed we are to take our place of life in the grace that our cathedral gives to us. It truly is an honor to care for her. And I say this with all due respect. I have been in several other parishes in the Archdiocese, but none have I felt the same depth and kind of love, the same esteem for the actual church building itself. Not to dismiss the beauty of the others, but I think it's your experience, it certainly is mine. This place, our Mother Church, lives and breathes. And at times it feels as if she is wrapping her arms around me. I found myself in the past days outside a lot, and I just look up. And I can honestly say, I love this place. I love her. And I love her. I lost my own mother 2 years ago on August 21st. Some of you may remember her. She was here faithfully. And she would be happy to tell you that of two men on earth, I was only the second one who could walk on water. You may think that I've lost my mind in my old age, but to be here under the canopy of her care with you, gift of faith, and unlike that Canaanite woman, brings me great comfort. Knowing that our cathedral is under the care of our Blessed Mother, so along with her and my own, I feel so strongly that both are looking after me. I was given articles this week from Tim Tomes, now the Archdiocesan Archivist. The articles he gave me were from the Catholic Telegraph and Advocate, that was the Catholic newspaper at that time, in Cincinnati. He was recounting the ceremonies of the laying and blessing of the cornerstone 171 years ago. So if you'll be patient with me, I just want to share with you a couple of lines that caught my attention, and I thought, 171 years. I don't think much has changed. The article begins, on the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin, the cornerstone of the new cathedral in Louisville was solemnly laid according to the impressive rites of the Catholic Church. There was an immense assemblage of people present on the occasion, and all conducted themselves with respect and reverence. The large audience listened with breathless attention. Do I need to say that again? While the Bishop of Cincinnati discoursed on the foundation of the Christian's faith and life. And he spoke mostly of Christ being the cornerstone. So very true. We will fade like Judas if Christ does not remain the center, and it has. along with the prayers of Our Lady of the Assumption. Bishop Flaget, who was, as you know, the first bishop of the diocese, first in Bardstown and then moved here, the seat, the cathedral, the cathedra, to Louisville, he was too sick to participate in all of the ceremonies. So one person who was there recounted in the Louisville newspaper what was most impressive to him, and it was quite touching to me. The part that comes to me most clearly is the last. When the procession had reached the walls right in front of the two-story porch mentioned earlier in this article, Bishop Flaget was borne in a chair from his room to a position on the porch where he could see and hear the whole ceremonies. Most attentively, he sat there, the observed of all observers by the great crowd. It had been arranged with the bishop that he was to bestow his blessing on the audience as the very last item on the program. And when the moment came, he arose unassisted, took his place at the railing of the porch, and at once began the sonorous words of the benediction. But it was seen that he had miscalculated his strength. So two young priests took their places, one on each side, like Aaron and Hur aided Moses at the battle of Amasek, holding up his hands. Yet when the venerable bishop came to the point where he was to elevate his right hand, he did it unassisted and kept it there until the last words had fallen from his lips, and then sank back in the chair and was carried at once to his room. He was never again able to officiate. My mind now sees the hundreds of men and women who sank upon their knees in the yard when the beloved bishop began the benediction. And these reminiscences were with me all Sunday. That crowd who takes their place at the cathedral in 2020, so grateful, prayerful, that's you, and that's me. So we take our place in the history and life of the Cathedral of the Assumption. And I truly believe that in today's world, part of our mission is to ring out to others that the cathedral today is a place of safety, security, and stability. Why? And Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith, let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. So we place our trust in Christ, our cornerstone. And if we trust her like she did and follow him as did his mother in obedience to the will of God, and do with great love what he has assigned us to do today and provide for generations to come, all those men, women, and children will enter this sanctuary to worship in truth and freedom the God of their ancestors who provided for their needs day in and day out, just as he promised. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.